Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's a lot of fun. We're out here in the country. Mr. Chubby's the original. 11 years running, great crowd already on hand. And I tell you what, why wouldn't you want to come out here? 2-for-1 drafts, domestic, 2-for-1 pitchers, the extended happy hour, $3 wines. It just goes on and on and on. $10 domestic buckets, that includes Miller Lite. And where else are you going to get a beer that cheap in Jacksonville? We're out here now. We're in the country, and it's kind of cool. I mean, I enjoy doing some country cruising. Took a little while to get out here, but it's great to be back, and we're going to roll. Next couple of hours, there's just a ton to get into. Basketball last night, the PGA Tour, the Southern Swing continued today. First-round coverage over from Arnold Palmer's course at Bay Hill. Of course, the great Tiger Woods has won there 8 times. Obviously, he is out for a long period of time. Who knows? Could be out forever. That is a story for another day. And, of course, next week as well, the Players' Championship, where next Thursday after the first round of the Players will be at the brand-new Mr. Chubby's. That'll be over in Ponte Vedra. Tonight, though, it's Crystal Springs Road. We invite you to come on by. Good crowd already on hand. We got a lot to do here over the next couple of hours. All right, busy day. Really, a lot of things happening. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is back for a year. You know, in an off season where, you know, Philip Rivers, a Hall of Famer, has announced that he is retiring. I think the belief, and it's been reported, although Drew Brees has not confirmed it, looks like he is on his way out. You start to wonder. It comes on the heels of Eli Manning, who recently announced his retirement. Of course, Daniel Jones, now the quarterback in New York, yet another Hall of Famer. Roethlisberger elects to come back for one season, and I'm a little surprised. Not that, you know, that he is back in Pittsburgh, but that he would come back under these terms. It's going to be real hard for Pittsburgh to get things rolling this year. You look at a very improving North, you know, as far as that division. We saw Joe Burrow. Jacksonville got a chance to see Joe Burrow. Yeah, he went out with the knee, and that is alarming. Obviously, Cleveland had their best season in decades. Baltimore disappointed. You know, they made a lot of runs defensively, including Calais Campbell here, and then Yannick Ngakoue, who's a free agent. And they just seem to regress a little bit, and they be, you know, they may be headed towards a problem as well when you look at the future. And, you know, what is Lamar Jackson going to command in the open market, considering he was an MVP a couple of years ago? But for Roethlisberger, he slashes his pay by more than half. He'll receive $14 million, which is good cash. I mean, it's nearly $1 million a game. It'll save Pittsburgh $15,300,000 for cap space during the 2021 season, give them the ability to go on out and make some moves. So for Roethlisberger, he will return for his 18th season. But they're talking about cutting a lot of guys. I know Joe Hayden responded today, and that's been, you know, one of about 100 different rumors that has been thrown around here in Jacksonville. If you go back to Joe Hayden, his days spent with Urban Meyer. I'm not a huge fan spending money on corners who are north the age of 30, you know, whether it's Richard Sherman, whether it's Joe Hayden, whether it's anyone else, Patrick Peterson, who could be available. And those are big names. They're going to be costly. I'm willing to overspend in other areas, as I've said now for weeks upon weeks, especially at left tackle. But I'm not willing to do that right now at corner. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Steelers. The Pouncey brothers announced their retirement. So anyway, Roethlisberger is back, and that is the deal. He will return now for his 18th year. All right, for starters, I thought Jacksonville got some real good news today, and it came from perhaps the biggest, traitor, Benedict Darnold, whatever you want to refer and call Jalen Ramsey, he's actually now doing the Jaguars a positive. Right, here's my take, brought to you by Lou Bodie at Capital Financial Strategies. Again, call Lou, 626-7995, in a world where finances are in flux. All right, my goodness, did you see the Dow today? You worried about your money? Give Lou Bodie a call, 626-7995. Who would have thought that it would be Jalen Ramsey who's actually helping this process of kicking Deshaun Watson out of the AFC South? I mean, Andrew Luck's been gone for a couple of years. If you can get rid of Deshaun Watson with Trevor Lawrence coming, it could be as simple as later this year, he and Trevor Lawrence ending up being the best overall quarterback in the AFC South. Jalen went on a podcast called Huddle and Flow, and his quote was, he highly doubts he was suit up for the Texans again, and he's extremely serious. Now, let's break it down a little bit. For starters, Jalen Ramsey is a bad guy. Jalen Ramsey sabotaged the Jacksonville Jaguars. We witnessed it for a three-week period, and it was absolutely brutal. You know, there's some things that I saw on the road that I still have never talked about. I will at some point, but I enjoy being the Jaguar sideline reporter. When those days end, then I'll go back and tell you about it, particularly the four-hour layover we had in Denver when the plane didn't work. I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to get into it. Why? I can't gain anything from it. Trust me. I love Jalen. I loved him down the road in God's country. I loved him at Florida State, even though he almost blew the national championship single-handedly by allowing Trey Mason to run right over him. That's another thing. Jalen in big games. I mean, look at the big games there. Yeah, he had a big interception against Miami as a freshman, but he got trucked by Trey Mason. A year later, when Florida State had their 29-game win streak snapped, Mariota threw a pick six right into the hands, or I should say the webbed hands, of Jalen Ramsey, who dropped it. Terrell Buckley, that's a pick six the other way. Deion Sanders, that's a pick six the other way. Clifton Abraham, that's a pick six the other way. Corey Sawyer, that's a pick six the other way. Corey Fuller, that's a pick six the other way. Samari Roll, that's a pick six the other way. What happened? Jalen dropped it a play later. Mariota goes in for a touchdown. Let's see, let's add it up. That's seven minus, that's a 14-point swing. A year later, his final one, he blitzed on his own. That's when we first learned about Jalen as the freelancer. He blitzed the quarterback at Houston, and his man ran wide open for the game-winning touchdown against Florida State. Anyway, great player in his own mind, but a very questionable human being. That is not the case for Deshaun Watson. He's a good guy. They have the same agent. We've seen the photo that came out about a year ago that really upset, I guess it was 2 years ago now, that really upset people here in Jacksonville, okay? But here's what is going on. Deshaun Watson now has Jalen Ramsey in his ears saying, this is how I did it. I faked the back injury. I alienated myself in front of the entire team, the front office. I became a bad guy. I provided for that locker room nothing short of cancer. And even though Watson is a good human being, the fact that he has Jalen Ramsey in his ear today telling him to do whatever it takes to get out of Houston is great news for Jaguar fans to get Deshaun Watson out of the AFC South. So who would have thought that it would be Jalen Ramsey, the ultimate villain, actually doing the Jaguars a solid a couple of years later? Now, listen, I know that you can make the point. You can be like, but slow down. I mean, there was no way that Deshaun Watson was going to come back anyway. You're making way too big of a deal out of this. Maybe. I don't know. But isn't it more comforting than Jalen Ramsey going on that podcast today saying, oh, no, I'm with Deshaun. I told him he needs to be in Houston. He needs to go back and play in Houston and, you know, turn that thing around. And no, he's going the exact opposite way. He's basically endorsing him, and that is what is being stated now with Jalen for Deshaun Watson. We got some serious feedback. Is that my boy Mike Phillips back in the studio? Whatever he's saying is going out through the radio, or at least through my headset. Do we know if it's one or the other?
Well, he's just talking to you.
Oh, he's talking to me?
Right.
What are you saying to me, Mike? What's going on back there? What am I doing wrong?
No, I'm just letting you know. We got the clip if you want to play it.
Jalen, you got the clip. Oh, okay. Well, let's play that clip. You know what? It's loud in here. It's rowdy. We're in the country. We've got bikers here. I think I've seen some of Jacksonville's Mongols who are here. I don't know if the Hells Angels are here. But the place is rocking, so it's a little difficult to hear you. But absolutely, let's go to Jalen Ramsey. This is from the podcast Huddle and Flow.
I highly doubt he'll ever, you know, suit up in a Texans uniform again. He's very serious. I would say he's very serious. This is a legacy. Yeah, he should be serious.
There you have it. Earlier today, he's serious. The quote from the great Jalen Ramsey. All right. Speaking of a podcast, Hayes Carline and yours truly, we dropped our third edition of Death, Taxes, and Duval yesterday. We received a lot of response on it so far today on social media, those out in Twitter land and others. So it's becoming a big thing. When in doubt, do a podcast.
Death, Taxes, and Duval is becoming one of my favorite podcasts on the station. That's no cap, just because I'm the producer of Into the Night with Rick Ballew. No, I actually enjoy the back and forth between you and Hayes.
Yeah, it's good stuff, no doubt about it. You looking all ready to go tonight. I mean, you got the guns firing. You dressed up in that 1010 XL 92.5 FL. Well, that's old school. Is that one of the ones I gave you, 1010 shirt?
Well, this one Tom gave.
Tom Champion gave that to you. All right, well, it's good to be out here. We don't get out here much. I can't remember the last time. I want to say it was probably two and a half years ago that we were out here when I was still doing Midday Chalk, when that actually happened. But it's great to make our first appearance. And, again, outstanding food here and incredible drink specials. Two for ones as far as drafts, two for ones as far as pitchers. $3 wines, $3 wells, you name it. They have it. Just come on by. All domestics. And, you know, obviously that does include the good folks over at Miller Lite. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. I made, you know, a serious point last night that I'm going to be very particular on what I want to do during free agency. And I think there's a feeling with some that the money's there, you got to spend it. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not going back to the days of when Dave Caldwell got here and Jacksonville had money over money over money over money. And they didn't use it. I mean, that was the worst roster I think I've ever seen in the history of the National Football League. You know, the end of the Mike Mularkey era and then the beginning of the Gus Bradley tenure here. This is different. But what needs to really be looked at and why the Jaguars have to be careful here, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl in 2021, but they can improve dramatically. And you can start to really fill some important needs. Most of those hopefully happen during the NFL draft. I want to overpay for a left tackle. I'm concerned about that position more than anything else. Cam Robinson did not have a good year. I know most of the local media here, at least those that I have spoken with, seem to be in favor of bringing him along, whether getting a long-term contract done or slapping a tag on him. Of course, the deadline for that is coming up on Tuesday. Be alarmed with the tag. You know if that happens, he'll be nowhere around during the offseason. Okay? He'll be a late show up. That's just the way folks are. And that's the worst thing that could happen for the new face of your franchise and the guy that's going to turn around this football team if, in fact, he's not here to understand the cadence, to understand the principles and the way things are going to be with a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's really worst-case scenario. So I want to overpay for a veteran left tackle. I would also draft one fairly early, double dip. You have the capital. I don't have a problem at all spending money on a 33-year-old free agent, even if he only gives you a couple of years' worth of service. Where I do have an issue is overpaying with a guy coming off the line of scrimmage, like a Shaq Barrett. I'm definitely not going to overpay for a wide receiver like Allen Robinson. I'm all about speed. That's what I want with Urban Meyer. I want speed and more speed. Allen Robinson's one of the nicest and most professional guys that I've ever had a chance to meet here. I'm a huge fan of Allen Robinson. But he's just a step above a possession wide receiver, in my opinion. Jacksonville needs speed. Jacksonville needs burners. So I'm not going to overpay there. And if I am, I want to go for a guy like Curtis Samuel, who can run a 4-3-1. I know he's a slot guy. I get that, and I understand it. But, again, I want to single out speed as far as the weapons for Trevor Lawrence under Urban Meyer. So I got a lot of feedback on this last night, and I was really impressed with some of the stuff you said as Jaguar fans, whether you agreed with me or disagreed with me. We'll continue with that conversation to some extent here tonight, because coming up at 7 o'clock, Jordan DeLugo is going to join us, and we're going to talk with him the entire hour about free agency and about the NFL draft. And I got a lot I want to kick around with him about current Jaguars, whether or not they want to bring them back. You know, honestly, I'm looking at 3 or 4 guys from that list. I mean, I'm not going to overpay for Keelan Cole. He's the 4th best wide receiver on this team, in my opinion, because they're going to add one somewhere to go with Chenault in Chark. You know, Sidney Jones maybe as a corner, if you can get him on the cheap. Perhaps Dewan Smoot, does he fit in? What's he going to add? You know, what's he going to command in the open market? That's really it for me. You know, restricted free agent, possibly Trey Herndon. But again, I think some out there will say those are just guys right now within that secondary. And that has to be something that the Jaguars make a move at, whether it's in free agency or the NFL draft as well. So that's coming up at 7 o'clock. We've got Cody Benjamin, who's going to join us from CBS Sports, NFL writer. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Not necessarily a ton on the Jaguars with him, just more about all these NFL circles. I mean, everything that's going on, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's Russell Wilson, we're seeing more key players get cut day after day after day. And all the rumors of guys who could be available in trades, it includes left tackles. Right? It includes Orlando Brown. It includes Trent Brown. It includes Nate Solder. I mean, you've got to do something at left tackle. And that's where you have to spend. You must protect Trevor Lawrence. At least that's the way I'm looking at this. So let's take our first break. We're going to be here tonight till 8. It's great to have you with us. Let's get things kicked off. Mike Phillips back in the studio. RJ Saunders here. My name is Rick Ballew. We're at Mr. Chubby's, Crystal Springs Road. Come on by. We'll be here tonight till 8.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
God, I might have underrated the West Side. This place is going crazy. My goodness, are there ever a whole bunch of smoking hot ladies here. I'm not talking about the wings. We haven't gotten to them yet, but they're just all over the place. I mean, this is just incredible. I think they like bikers. I think they like country dudes. I don't know. I'm here to learn, and I'm looking forward to it because that's going to be the case for the next couple of hours. Tonight's show brought to you by the great folks over at Key Buick GMC. Right now, receive 0% financing plus $750 loyalty dollars for up to 72 months on Buick Encores, Envisions, Enclaves, or save up to $8,000 on select Buicks in stock. Of course, whenever you purchase a brand new Buick or GMC from Key, it always comes with the lifetime powertrain warranty. Right across the street from Tinseltown, the March incentives are out, and they are incredible. Visit them, Gate and Southside. All right, we've got a lot to do here over the next couple of hours. Getting a lot of feedback from you on my Jalen opinion. Again, you know, I've been doing this for over 29 years, and it's not what I say, it's what you hear. The 72-34 says, why wouldn't you love Jalen, my guy? I wouldn't love Jalen because he held the Jacksonville Jaguars hostage. That's why. He was incredibly selfish. He is a phenomenal talent. Okay? He could be going to Canton, Ohio one day. And we'll see what the Jaguars, you know, end up getting once we have a couple of years to really digest and evaluate the players that they got in return. So far, it didn't work out with Ke'Lavon Chase on. He did get better in the last month of the year. Obviously, it appeared that he was playing out of place last year, where basically they just said, pin back the ears and go after the quarterback. He had many more pressures, you know, the last month of the year than he did, you know, in the previous 12 games. Can't wait to see him as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. Listen, as I said, I had a nice relationship with Jalen. You know, we didn't always talk about football. We talk about, or if we did, we'd go back and talk about what was going on at Florida State. Very bothered by the way he handled things. I just thought it was totally unprofessional. So that's why I don't sit here and gush now over Jalen Ramsey. But you got to love the fact that he's doing his part to stay in the ear of Deshaun Watson to get him out of the AFC South. The 2005 says, hey, Rick, who is your favorite free agent tight end? Who the Jags should target? How about Kyle Rudolph? Nah, there's been enough of that with the, you know, the aging tight end. And I guess Jeff Swaim wasn't necessarily an aging tight end. But, you know, they tried with Austin Seferian Jenkins. And obviously they tried last year by, you know, trying to get it done with Tyler Eifert. I would really spend here as well. I would spend at left tackle, and I would spend at tight end. Those are the two positions. And as I said, you know, all week, I believe it or not, I would actually overspend for a backup quarterback in Alex Smith for the reasons which I've already discussed. I don't feel like going through those right now. But Janu Smith, I happen to like an awful lot. Hunter Henry, you know, I think is a very good football player where there are better years ahead of him. It's probably going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $10, $11 million to get Hunter Henry. You know, I like that. I know the Friermuth youngster out of Penn State, you know, we keep hearing his name being thrown around perhaps in the second round. And, you know, I just look at the roster. They've got young guys right now at tight end. Yeah, we're still waiting for Josh Oliver. I promise you, I will not get on that train this year because, you know, I was really burnt last year. And I thought he was weak as a rookie. I thought he looked frail. I thought he looked scared as a rookie. And he appeared to get better last year, get a little bit tougher, but of course he still wasn't able to get things done. You know, that in itself is going to be fascinating. If Urban Meyer kind of plays the old Tom Coughlin way, or, you know, even if you ever read The Untarnished Dome, the book on Lou Holtz, and written by my buddy Don Yeager back in, you know, 1989, I think it was written, 1990. If you were hurt under Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, you were freaking useless. You know, read the book if you don't believe me. I mean, you were absolutely useless. And, you know, if Josh Oliver pulls up lame with a soft tissue injury, and all of a sudden, I wouldn't be surprised if his days here are numbered. You can't get it done in the hot tub. Or you can't get it done, you know, riding a bike with ice on your knee or whatever your ailment is. We'll see. But I don't want to go draft here. I don't. There's too many other needs, too many other pressing needs for the Jaguars when, you know, you look at a wide receiver. Obviously, I have expressed my opinion with an offensive tackle. They need a corner. They need a safety. They need a defensive tackle. All right, so no, I would try to do that in free agency. At least that's my opinion on it. Baloo, what do you think of Chenault taking that Percy Harvin role in Urban's offense. Well, you know, I think we saw a lot of that last year, the Percy Harvin role. I was disappointed that they didn't, believe it or not, give him a chance to do more. And what I mean by more is actually run routes downfield. I want to see Laviska Shenault stretch defenses like we saw during the final game of the year. It was too much dinking and dunking last year. And I know that that is going to be a concern for those who want Curtis Samuel to come here. And I happen to be one of those guys. I think his numbers are misleading. They haven't been great. He's only gone over 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage once. I just don't think they've used him right in Carolina. I also think they're dealing in Carolina with what wide receivers have dealt with around here. That is a poor performance overall by quarterbacks. I mean, the end of the Cam Newton situation, clearly he regressed. Didn't work out last year at all for Teddy Bridgewater, who's been, you know, on the shelf now for really the entire offseason. So, you know, is that too much of the same thing? If you went out and you were to draft Kadarius Toney, is that too much of the same thing? I mean, who are you going to put on the outside? That's my point. Who's the guy on the outside who can flat burn? Well, I know you're going to tell me DJ Chark. Well, DJ Chark, you know, he missed, what, 6 games as a rookie. He wasn't himself last year. It's a contract year. You would expect the best things out of him. But they still really do need a bona fide guy who can fly and run the deep stuff. I wonder if Shenault could do that, certainly more than what we saw last year here in Jacksonville. Got to believe that that is the case. All right, we'll continue with your questions, getting a ton of them tonight. Best way to get me is on the text line, 641-1010. You can also do so on Twitter, which is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Let's get Cody Benjamin in, coming up on the other side. He's with CBS Sports, one of the very talented NFL writers, and we'll spend a couple of moments on the Jaguars, obviously. But I want to get with him some of the other major stories that are happening. It's an incredible week. I mean, everything that's going on in the NFL and, you know, all the rumors that are there of prominent players who are right now out there for the taking as far as a trade, and others who would just flat be released. I mean, this is such a good situation for the Jags because they have the most overall cap room of any other team. And I really believe that general managers, head coaches, they are going to freak out. We are, what, 7 Thursday nights away from the NFL draft. Every day that we get closer to the draft, they're going to look at their cap, and they're going to look at their draft picks, and they're going to try to do whatever it takes. Look at a team like Houston. Of course they're going to have to move Deshaun Watson. I mean, they gave up those first-round picks in the Laremy Tunsil deal. Teams are going to panic who don't have, you know, the normal amount of draft picks. And Jacksonville is in such a great situation here that they can certainly get it done in free agency. They have tons of draft capital. They also have the opportunity this year to be the team who receives Stephon Diggs, or the team who receives DeAndre Hopkins, or who receives Calais Campbell. I mean, Baltimore gave up a 5th-round pick for Calais Campbell. Why? He had a price tag. He had a cap number of, what, $14.5 million. Jacksonville could be in the market for that this year, especially at left tackle. And if it's going to happen at one position, I do hope it would happen at left tackle. So let's get into that. Cody Benjamin's going to join us from CBS Sports. That'll be on the other side. Come on by. We're having a lot of fun here. You can just feel it. It is Mr. Chubby's. They will have UFC 259 here coming up. 3 title fights on Saturday night. So fight fans. And that'll be the case at all 3 locations. So, you know, there's a lot of folks who love what's going on in the cage here. Pretty good card, real good card, as a matter of fact, with 3 title fights coming up on Saturday. Again, they'll have it for you at Mr. Chubby's. All right, next is Cody Benjamin, NFL writer from CBS Sports. He goes into the night with Rick Ballou.
Into the Tonight with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, just heard a promo with Ricky Fowler, of course, won the Players' Championship going back a couple of years ago. My goodness, did Sir Nick Faldo crush him on Twitter. I'll save that for a little bit later on. Next week is going to be nonstop golf as the Players' Championship returns to Jacksonville. Yeah, we all know where we were a year ago, right? A year ago, I guess, a year ago today, because it was, I think it was moved up a week ago. Actually, no, it was the same time, but that was that Thursday where the first round ended, and then games started getting canceled, and teams started backing out of the NCAA tournament, and we were told no fans for the second round on Friday. Then a couple hours later, it was announced that the Players was scrapped after only 18 holes. So plenty of golf talk coming up right around the corner. Right now, though, let's stay with the NFL. Cody Benjamin does a great job as he covers the National Football League for CBS, and he joins Rick Ballew as we go into the night. I appreciate a few moments. How you been?
Hey, I'm doing very well, Rick. I'm glad to be back on with you.
Yeah, it's great to talk with you. You know, Jalen, not too, you know, not well received around here anymore, Jalen Ramsey, for the way that, you know, he sabotaged the team and forced his way out. But, boy, he's in the ear now with the same agent of Deshaun Watson. I think we'd all agree Deshaun's a better guy than Jalen, but I never would have thought that Ramsey down the road would actually benefit the Jaguars by helping get Deshaun Watson out of the AFC South.
So will he move up the rankings then? Will he get back in the good graces of Jacksonville?
No, this will help, but here's the way it's going to go, is that too many people around here are going to say, well, he would have been traded anyway, so no credit goes to Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, you know, I think that, man, you just wanted me to bury Jalen Ramsey right out of the bat. I guess I get the audience on my side. But no, I think, you know, the Deshaun Watson situation, it definitely, I don't think Jalen Ramsey is off base. I think that, look, this is how things go in the NFL. Just like teams are able to violate contracts, quote unquote, by cutting guys to save cap room. You know, we look at players and we'll say this guy's selfish for holding out or wanting out, but that's their way of trying to find a better situation. So, at the end of the day, look, the Texans own Deshaun Watson's rights for, you know, several years in front of this season, but, eventually you reach a point where the public relations, you have to weigh that versus, you know, what the contract says. And if you're going into the season and your starting quarterback, the face of the franchise, doesn't want to be with that franchise, you have to make a move. And I think that eventually that's a conversation the Texans will have.
Yeah, they're going to have to move him. I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be there. And it's almost, you know, in a way, like a precedent-setting case. Most guys want to leave because of money. That's not the deal here. He's making more than enough, what, 30-some-odd million a year. But, you know, he no longer wants to play there. We saw the return for Matthew Stafford at the age of 33. Cody, you know, if it's the Bears or the Broncos or the Jets, whoever it is, I know he's got a no-trade clause. What is Houston going to be able to command here in moving him?
Well, I think, just personally, I mean, I think it's the starting point for conversations is 3, if not 4 first-round picks. And I think that's where you're starting, and you're maybe even trying to build off of that. You know, I've seen some floated out. I think it came from the Houston Chronicle that they were looking for, you know, if it wasn't 3 firsts, it's 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 young defensive starters. Whatever it is, like you said, it's gonna set a new precedent. And I think, you know, with the Russell Wilson situation, that's a little different because, you know, Seattle would be losing money this offseason if they did that. Russell Wilson is obviously a little more accomplished as a quarterback, but in any event, with either player, if you're not getting back a high first-round pick or multiple high first-round picks, then there better be a decent starting quarterback coming back in return. And that doesn't seem, you know, I don't know that Houston's going to be doing a dance if they get Teddy Bridgewater from the Panthers.
Yeah.
So I think you're talking at least 2 to 3, if not 4 first-round picks to get the talks going.
Very surprised about the Russell Wilson news. And, you know, there are times, and I've watched him play forever, as I know you have, where I don't think he really takes advantage of the ability to dump down. He seems to be all or nothing, and it's created some sacks more than he wants. But, you know, now to have this out there that it could be him or Pete Carroll, and he's not happy with Pete Carroll's sons who are on the staff, what do you think is going to happen when that thing is all said and done?
Yeah, it is tough because, you know, Russell Wilson, and the same with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't know that either of us would have pegged, and I don't know that anyone really still would peg Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson as you know, me first kind of players.
Right.
I look at the Russell Wilson situation, and now this is not by any means a perfect player comparison, but I look at the Carson Wentz situation that just went down in Philadelphia, and I see a ton of similarities to the way that it's unfolding. If you read, you know, The Athletic had a big report on the kind of the rift between Russell Wilson and Seattle. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with just these little differences that add up as far as, you know, what is being asked of me as a quarterback? What is being done to help me, whether it's offensive line, whether it's offensive strategy, whether it's being coached too hard or too soft? And neither Russell Wilson nor Carson Wentz ever came out and just, you know, laid it on like Jalen Ramsey and said, I need out. But behind closed doors, I mean, they used their agents, they used the media to kind of make it clear that they'd prefer getting a lot more help from their organization, or they preferred to move on. And I think that, that's my read on the Russell Wilson situation. I don't think we're at the point of Deshaun Watson yet with him, but, I mean, my gosh, it's been quite a bit of smoke for a guy that rarely ever has smoke around it.
Cody Benjamin, our guest, going into the night with Rick Ballew. He writes for CBS and CBS Sports, covering the National Football League. How much of this is Tom Brady? Surprising a lot. I mean, I didn't think he'd leave New England. I'm from there originally. You know, just packing up and going to Tampa and winning a Super Bowl. You look at Seattle, they couldn't stop anyone. Houston was terrible. Is it that these quarterbacks now are saying, I'm not getting any younger, I want to go to a team where I believe I can win right now? Or do you think they were just unhappy to begin with?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, I think you can't just say, you know, I think in the case of Tom Brady, it's certainly a factor. I mean, even in the Athletic report, they noted, you know, Russell Wilson is sitting in the stands at the Super Bowl, and I'm sure he's dreaming up the scenarios where he just goes to whichever team he wants to. I don't think it's, you know, I think that's a part of it. But you have to remember, too, that, you know, just because Tom Brady goes from one situation where he spent 20 years and instantly wins a Super Bowl elsewhere, I mean, he's also Tom Brady. You know, he's not any old quarterback. And I know that, you know, Russell Wilson he's certainly in that camp. You know, Deshaun Watson could be in that camp eventually. But I think I think you could look at Tom Brady. I think you could look at the Matthew Stafford trade. I think you could look at the Carson Wentz trade this offseason. As if you're Russell Wilson and you're Deshaun Watson, you think, and justifiably so, you think you're better than both Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz right now. But Matthew Stafford basically got a red carpet exit out of Detroit. You know, they allowed him to kind of handpick his destination. He got to go to sunny, you know, Los Angeles to play for a contender. Carson Wentz, meanwhile, coming off a career-worst season. You know, Eagles didn't really help him, but, you know, it's my belief that the Eagles are exploring 2021 top quarterback prospects, and that tells me they didn't trade Carson Wentz because all their eggs are in the Jalen Hurts basket. They traded Carson Wentz primarily because Carson Wentz didn't want to be there anymore. And so I think that when you look at Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, they think, rightfully so, they are superior quarterbacks, and they just watched two other quarterbacks get their way and go where they wanted to go. And so, you know, Tom Brady's part of it, but I think those other trades are part of it. We've seen this in the past. You know, Carson Palmer back in 2011 basically retired his way out of Cincinnati. You know, you can go back to John Elway with the Colts. But right now it just so happens that this offseason there's been multiple dominoes falling within weeks of each other, where the leverage is just it's building.
That's a great point. I mean, Favre did the same thing. You know, he forced his way out of Green Bay and ended up going to New York. You know, and then ended up with Minnesota. All right, leave us with this. You know, obviously, we think 7 weeks from tonight, Trevor Lawrence, no question, becomes the franchise quarterback here in Jacksonville. I think the biggest situation now in this city, Cody, is left tackle. I don't believe Cam Robinson has earned a long-term contract. There's 33-year-olds who will be available in free agency, and there's, you know, a lot of guys you can make a run at here in the NFL draft. Because you're protecting the face and the guy that will hopefully turn this franchise around, what do you believe the Jaguars need to do at left tackle?
Well, I don't think it's wrong to take multiple swings at it, and I think that, you know, that they're going to have to. I mean, when you have, you know, projected $80-plus million to spend, you know, obviously some of that can go towards starters at other positions. I mean, whether it's skill positions to help Trevor Lawrence, whether it's, you know, one of these young safeties that's going to be on the free agent market. I mean, they're going to have, you know, plenty of players to dish that money around, but I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You mentioned the draft, free agency. I mean, I think both should be on the table. I don't think that, you know, paying Jason Peters at this point in his career is a short or a long-term help for Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, whether it's swinging big for Trent Williams, if you believe he can be, you know, good, if not great, for the next 5 to 7 years, whether it's kind of, you know, chasing those middle-of-the-road free agents and then, you know, trying to use one of those early picks on one, I think you go multiple routes. And, you know, we've seen other teams, you know, tackles, especially left tackles, premium ones, they are at a premium. And so we've seen teams like the 49ers make, you know, trades for guys like Trent Williams just this last year. I think every option is on the table, as it should be. I don't have a one name for you because I think that from Jacksonville's perspective, it should be a multifaceted approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. I double dip too. And I'm not talking about a late tackle in the draft. I'm talking about signing someone and using, you know, I mean, whether it's a 25th pick in the first round or 33, 45th in the second round, I don't think you can have too many offensive linemen right now to protect your franchise. So you and I definitely in agreement there. Cody, I do appreciate it as always. Thank you. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Cody Benjamin, NFL writer for CBS Sports. You know, I get a feeling from you that this is not necessarily a popular opinion, but, you know, how many times have I said it the last few weeks on this show? You can't get left tackle wrong. You cannot. And I don't want to be around and told that, well, they have just a guy. I understand that Cam Robinson is the best case scenario, okay? If you signed him and then he played to that contract, it would be phenomenal. You wouldn't have to give up a draft pick to draft someone. You wouldn't have to give up a pick if you believe that you want to make a deal for Orlando Brown, or you want to make a trade for a Nate Solder who opted out last year, Trent Brown, you really want to bring Trent Brown here? Man, he's a cheeseburger away from weighing 400 pounds. The guy's got a reputation as terrible work ethic. He's got a reputation as a guy who doesn't always give it his all. He got both those guys. Solder had a long-standing career in New England, but Dante Scarnecchia, arguably the best offensive line coach the last 20, 25, 30 years in the NFL in New England, made those two players so much money. I don't want to give up draft capital and turn around and pay Trent Brown the amount of money they're going to have to pay him. So, you know, I'm saying no to all of this. You got to sign one, and then you got to draft one. At least that's the way that I would do it at that position. For all of you about wide receiver and tight end and defensive tackle and cornerback and safety, because the Jaguars have a ton of needs, Nothing is more important than left tackle. Nothing. Okay? Obviously, Trevor Lawrence in. Okay? That is the one thing that is more important. But he's in. Okay? Second most important position on the football field, in my opinion, left tackle. More important than a pass rush end. All right. More of your feedback on that coming up. 641-1010 live from Mr. Chubby's out here at Crystal Springs Road. Jordan DeLugo is going to join us. Much more on the Jags. He's here live to talk about everything that's going on with the Jags. I mean, what? We're a week and some change away from free agency. Seven Thursday nights from tonight will be the National Football League draft. So we draw closer to both of those huge things coming up here for Jaguar fans. 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers. Mr. Chubby's out in the country. West Side, Crystal Springs. Place is packed. Absolutely packed. Come on by and say hello. We're here till 8.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, very busy first hour. We expect the same right now from 7 up until 8. Mr. Chubby, some country cruising today, and is having a whole heck of a lot of fun. This place is packed, and why wouldn't it be packed when you have 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers, buckets, only $10, domestics. You can get ice-cold Miller Lite here as well. Extended happy hour, certainly great wings and other menu items to choose from. It's located here out on Crystal Springs Road. So it's good to be out here. I haven't been here in a very, very long time. Of course, next Thursday we'll be back in Ponte Vedra, their brand-new restaurant, Mr. Chubby's, and that'll be after the first round of the Players' Championship. All right, nonstop Jags this hour. Jordan DeLugo is our guest with Generation Jag, and he joins us right now live from Mr. Chubby's. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
It's good to have you with us.
Been listening for a long time.
Well, I enjoy your material, and I wanted to have you out here. I mean, my gosh. First off, before we get to the Jaguars, have you ever seen an offseason as crazy as this when it comes to quarterbacks?
Oh, no, and I don't think you ever will again, just with all the uncertainty with the veteran quarterbacks around the league, and then you got the big draft class with, depending on who you talk to, 5 to 6 really good guys coming in. I mean, for me, I think there's a clear top 4, but we can get into that. But, yeah, I don't think you'll ever see anything like this again.
Oh, the great thing is with the top 4, we don't need to get into that. Whether you're Chris Sims or anyone else, it doesn't matter. Trevor Lawrence is coming here.
No doubt about it. I think everything you needed to know was answered at that pro day that Urban Meyer basically asked Trevor Lawrence to do prior to his surgery there.
You know, Urban Meyer, obviously early on there was an issue with bringing in the strength and conditioning coach from Iowa and Chris Doyle, who was let go, a lot of public pressure on him. I thought that obviously was a bad look, but a few days later, the way that he went and commanded the Trevor Lawrence workout to stand right there at the 50-yard line. I mean, Gus Bradley wouldn't have done that. Doug Marrone wouldn't have done that. Mike Mularkey wouldn't have done that. Jack Del Rio wouldn't have done that. Coughlin, you can make a case for, absolutely. But that felt like Belichick. That felt like Saban. Like, here's a guy brand new to the NFL, basically ran that workout.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two names you mentioned, he's very close with both of those guys, Saban and Belichick. And I think they've been influences on how he is as a coach, and obviously I believe they have a great relationship, working and personal. So I think, yeah, he absolutely has the clout, and you know, comes with 3 national championships. Could have had another one if Ohio State was not on suspension that 1 year when they went undefeated. So yeah, he's the type of guy that's going to command the respect of everybody that's in the room with him.
All right, we got so much to do. There's so much to cover. I wanted to begin with the most important position. That's left tackle, but we'll let that lay for a little bit. I want to get to weaponry here for Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I am all about speed. I just want speed, 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 speed. Allen Robinson, very popular here in Jacksonville, one of the nicest guys to come through. He's getting set to make a ton of money, maybe $18, $20 million a year. I'm going to pass here on Allen Robinson. I think he's a little bit better than a possession receiver. He's not the speed guy that I want Trevor Lawrence to have. What's your opinion there?
Yeah, I do think DJ Chark has plenty of speed, but I agree with you. If you pair DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault, and of course you can talk about Colin Johnson's development, but that's not something you want to bank on rolling into 2021. I think you want to bring in a bona fide guy with speed, like you said. We talked about Will Fuller yesterday from Houston. Mm-hmm. Always great to rob some talent from your division rivals. Curtis Samuel, he's not been as much of a deep threat throughout his career as Will Fuller, but I think that ability is there. He obviously played for Urban Meyer at Ohio State, and he's the type of guy that he's got the speed. He's got the ability to carry the ball out of the backfield, got great route running chops, coming off a fantastic season. I think if you pair either of those guys or even both of them with what you've already got, and maybe you bring back Keelan Cole. I think he's a guy that has plenty of speed that has really proven himself over the last couple of years, and he could look even better when you get him out there with a quarterback the caliber of Trevor Lawrence.
I really like Curtis Samuel. He ran a 4.31 coming out of Ohio State. I know that he's done, you know, a lot of work in Carolina in the slot. He hasn't been blessed with great quarterback play, which is obviously reminiscent to the way things have been around here in Jacksonville. But when I ask that question, because I'm in favor of bringing him in, when I ask that question to some people, they'll say, well, he's too much like Laviska Shenault. He's a slot guy. As you pointed out, he runs the ball. They're too similar. Well, my way of looking at it is, okay, well, why not expand the route tree? We saw late in the year that if you have Shenault go run a deep ball, he can be successful. I was disappointed in the way that Jay Gruden utilized Shenault last year. I liked the times that he got the ball, but I thought he could have done that much more despite inadequate play at quarterback. So, I mean, is that the issue? You know, it's another slot guy, or can you put one or both of those guys at times out on the edge?
Oh, they can both play on the edge, in my opinion. They can both play the slot. They can both line up in the backfield. And you talk about them being similar. They can do some similar things in your offense. But Laviska Shenault is a physical son of a gun, and Curtis Samuel is much more that finesse speed guy. So they do bring different elements to the offense, and you can absolutely have Shenault on the outside with Samuel in the slot or vice versa, or have one of them in the backfield with another one in the slot or on the outside. You can do all sorts of different alignments with these two guys on the field at the same time. I absolutely believe that.
A lot of guys available. I mean, obviously Kadarius Toney makes some sense. Maybe not the blazing speed. It'll be interesting to see what he times out at this week during Florida's Pro Day. But just watching every game that he's played in his career, he has the ability to make people miss. So that would be a phenomenal weapon. I just don't know if he has a quote-unquote great breakaway speed.
Yeah, and for me with the draft, it's all about value, and I do like Kadarius Toney. Like you said, he might not be the absolute fastest guy in a straight line. His ankle flexion and his ability to change directions at the drop of a hat, it really is something to see. And you see a lot of safeties and cornerbacks look really silly in pursuit of Kadarius Toney. But, you know, it depends on where he falls in the draft. Is 25 the right spot? That might be a little bit rich for my blood, depending on who else is on the board. If you're at 33 and you didn't go get a Curtis Samuel, maybe 33 works. Maybe 45 if he falls that far. You really don't know how these wide receivers are going to stack up, because there's a lot of receivers in this draft class that have the similar role that you project them to, with being a slot guy, being a guy that you can get the ball quickly. So it'll depend on where he falls in the draft and what else is on the board.
Yeah, I mean, last year's draft was sensational at wide receiver. This is supposed to be another very good wide receiver draft, along with it, you know, being a great quarterback and tackle draft. Rondale Moore is a guy that's getting a lot of pub. I know that virtually he's met with the Jags. Keep hearing his name rise. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't have the combine this year to watch drills and watch the 40, but you know, at least there's a guy that there appears to be some interest.
Yeah, he's another guy that people are talking about, bottom of the first round, maybe day two. He did not run a very diverse route tree in college, and that's a little bit of a concern. He looked like he had the ability to run those routes, but they just weren't asking him to run vertical routes at all down the field. He was getting the ball in the backfield, he was getting the ball quickly. So you have to do a little bit of projection there. He's also dealt with a lot of injuries. Also, obviously, very short. So he's a guy that's very interesting. I think there's some boom-bust potential depending on if he's able to develop that route tree and if he's able to stay healthy.
All right, I really want to hammer left tackle after the next break. So before we get there, as I'm talking with Jordan DeLugo joining us live here with Rick Ballew from Mr. Chubby's, we're at the West Side location, Crystal Springs Road. Come on by. We're going to be here tonight until 8 o'clock. Listen, you can go back to when Caldwell took over. There was a ton of money. He built it slowly. It backfired outside of 2017. Then they ran into cap hell with some bad contracts and a lot of dead money. I imagine your inbox and on social media, you have people every day telling you this is who the Jags have to go for. This is who the Jags have to go for. First off, my opinion, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it all right now. What's your thought on, $82, $83 million? And we're going to learn what Urban Meyer is all about, but what's your thought going in?
The really interesting thing that I don't think a lot of people bring up when you're talking about the salary cap this year specifically is the advantage the Jags have with having a boatload of money, like you said, about $82 million. And so many other teams are, in the red right now. But one thing about this cap that you've got to think about, projecting into 2022 and beyond, the cap is going to be rising probably exponentially after the NFL gets their TV deals done and gets the revenue back to where they're going. So even if you do spend this $82 million this year, you're probably going to be in a decent cap situation still going into 2022. So I'm not saying you have to go spend it all. But I think you should go spend a good chunk of it. And obviously you need to leave some for the draft and for, potential moves throughout the season. But I think they should definitely go spend a big chunk of it because they've got plenty of needs.
Yeah, it's interesting because, that your point is, look at the deal that Disney just spent for Monday Night Football and the other deals that come in with Fox, CBS, and NBC in next year as well. You can really look at the fact that even though he played well this year, Norwell won't be around for 2022. Linder won't be around for 2022. And Schobert won't be around for 2022. So, that's more than $30 million that you would acquire right there.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
And you can factor in the DJ Chark contract if you want to do that as well. Go get that done early.
Yeah, and, who doesn't love DJ Chark? He's one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. There just appeared to be something wrong. I know this year was frustrating for, and I'm not complaining, trust me, with everything that's gone on with the pandemic. But, you get used to being in the locker room and traveling with the team and seeing them after a game. You can read body language. You can look at facial expressions. We didn't get that opportunity this year because of the pandemic. But it appeared that something was wrong this year with DJ, not only physically, I don't know if it was Gardner Minshew. I don't know if it was Jay Gruden. I don't know what it was. But something seemed wrong.
Yeah, he battled through some foot stuff. And then I think it was really frustrating having Gardner Minshew going out there, not playing as well, being injured. You're switching quarterbacks. Seemingly, it was a revolving door, especially in the second half of the season at quarterback. And that's got to be very frustrating. I know there was a lot of plays out there where he was just wide open. And same with Keelan Cole, where the quarterback either just didn't see him or wasn't able to get them on target. And that, I know that was very frustrating for Chark, who I'm sure he was, he's coming off the Pro Bowl season. I think he expected to take another step forward.
Right.
And instead, it kind of devolved into where he's coming off a year that he's not really proud of.
All right, you like Cole. I do as well. But, I think they're going to address it with one more. So in my book, he's the fourth wide receiver on this team. What if he's asking for $6-7 million a year?
The wide receiver contracts are going to be fascinating this offseason because you've got so many wide receivers that are going to be free agents. You saw Tyrell Williams, who was released by the Raiders. He went up to Detroit, and he only got up to $6.2 million, so that contract could be even less in just a one-year deal. So if you're talking about a guy like Tyrell Williams, who signed a massive contract just a few years ago, he is coming off the injury season that he missed 2020. But if you're talking about Tyrell Williams only getting $6.2 million, I think Keelan Cole is going to be coming in at five or under, and I'd be totally comfortable with that. I'm not saying you have to go get him,
right?
But I'm comfortable with that.
Well, for that amount, yeah, sure. I mean, absolutely. You know, the drops seemed to he improved. He was arguably their best receiver last year, arguably.
Yeah.
With Chenault. I mean, he was. So, yeah, I mean, if you can get him for that – It does make you wonder. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you get one guy, then with the young Johnson, you have five wide receivers. All right, let's get to the left tackle position on the other side. To me, it's the most important situation within this organization, obviously with the assumption that Trevor Lawrence is coming. And also just that free agent market. Where are they going to go in free agency? They have the ability to bring in two, three Tier 1 free agents. There's no doubt about that. More, actually. So that's what's really interesting about what the Jags are going to do. The free agency period begins in a little bit more than a week. Jordan DeLugo in with Rick Ballew. We're live from Mr. Chubby's. If you'd like to come on by here, Crystal Springs Road. We'll be here tonight till 8 o'clock.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, make sure you're with us tomorrow, 6 to 8. Plenty of guests scheduled for Friday's show, including Mike Girardi from the NFL Network. Full throttle NFL, particularly the Jags. Next week, that'll change a little bit with the Players' Championship coming back. And we'll be at Mr. Chubby's next week back in Ponte Vedra after the first round of the Players. That'll be out there where the old Bogey's Grill is. Tonight we're on the west side, Crystal Springs Road. Mr. Chubby's been around for 11 years, the original. And we're having a good time. Great crowd on hand if you would like to come on by. Jordan DeLugo is here joining yours truly, Rick Ballew. He is with Generation Jack. How did you get this thing up and started, by the way, Generation Jack?
Yeah, I just started the blog right after I graduated from UNF and then kind of just went with it from there. I've been doing it since 2015 and just kind of steadily made progress as a writer and understanding what the heck is going on with the NFL and with the Jaguars. And yeah, we've just been having a really good time.
Yeah, I enjoy it. A lot of good information there. And I've always been one of those who believes the more the better. And Jordan DeLugo does a real good job. All right, let's get to the biggest situation now in town, at least in my opinion, with obviously Trevor Lawrence in. That's left tackle. I express my opinion on this all the time. I'm not going to go through it. I'm just going to put it to you. What do you believe the Jags should do at left tackle?
Trent Williams.
Let's get this man a beer and a shot right now live at Mr. Chubby's. Yes, but will San Francisco, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it. But what if San Francisco gives him a deal worth $20 million a year?
Right. It's an interesting situation because San Francisco has been trying to negotiate with him, and he has the no franchise tag clause in his contract. So if the 49ers can't come to the table and get something done before free agency starts, I think the Jaguars are going to be able to outbid him.
Yeah, I would love it. I would absolutely love it. All right. So, you know, the legal tampering period comes to us a few days after the end result for tagging a player, Cam Robinson. I mean, it's got to be in by, you know, the 9th. So that's coming up this Tuesday. I'm real nervous about that. I've been crystal clear. I don't want to bring back Cam Robinson. I want to go in a different direction. Feels like most of the media here in town that I talk with disagree with me. They believe his better football's ahead of him.
I do think his best football could be ahead of him. Depends on where he is next year. Is he in Jacksonville? If he's playing under Urban Meyer in another year with Warhop as the offensive line coach, I do think you could see him play a lot better. But I agree with you. I think Trent Williams is a much better option. I think in a vacuum, Orlando Brown Jr. is also a much better option. But then you've also what do you have to get up? Do you have to give up 25? Do you have to give up 33 to go get Brown and then also sign him to a massive deal? So for me, I would not mind transition tagging Cam Robinson to have him in your back pocket if you can't land Trent Williams and have Cam Robinson as your backup plan.
Yeah, I don't hate it. My only worrisome there is he's, and we don't even know what's going to happen as far as off-season workouts. I mean, I was kind of hoping we'd know by now. I mean, I'm hoping for rookie minicamp this year, and I don't know what we're going to have, what we're not going to have. But, you know, we do know that when guys get tagged, they typically sit out the month of August. And when you got a young quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, man, I am an every rep, I am an every snap count type of guy. I want my left tackle out there to learn and understand his cadence and every nuance of this brand new quarterback. I don't want him showing up the way that Walter Jones used to do every week, the first week of the season.
Right. Yeah, I don't blame you. I agree with you on that, too. I would definitely like to see the left tackle in camp. But with the transition tag, it could be a situation where you end up matching another team's offer on Cam Robinson, and then it might end up being something that he's much more comfortable with than just being on that one-year tag. So it's not ideal, in my opinion, to have Cam Robinson on that tag and then have to go potentially match. You want to get Trent Williams. But the problem for me is what else is out there that's really that appealing at left tackle besides the potential to trade for Orlando Brown?
Watched Orlando Brown play a lot of football because my girlfriend's an Oklahoma graduate. Spent 2 years at Texas Tech, 2 years at Oklahoma. So I watch those teams, honestly, more than I want to. But Orlando Brown, to me, oof. I mean, what, 13 starts at left tackle? Wants, if you get him, you know, he has all the leverage now because you just made a move, and, you know, that may cost you, who knows, a late first, a second, maybe a future third. Who knows what the asking price is going to be. But when you try to negotiate with him, you lose that leverage because you just made a deal for him, so then you're going to have to turn around and make him among one of the highest paid left tackles in the game.
Yeah, he knows you need him. He knows that you just gave up the bag for him, gave up a ton of draft capital or whatever else you have to give up. So you're right, he absolutely does have the leverage. But I don't think you make that trade unless you're willing to give him that deal and, you know, pretty much be ready to get that deal done when he gets to Jacksonville.
I know you study a lot of film. What do you think of Orlando Brown? Is he's a monster guy. I mean, he's what, 6'8"? Listed at 355, to me it looks like he's 375, 380.
Yeah, when you look at him on tape, he stands out in a crowd. A massive, massive mountain of a left tackle, right tackle, whatever you want to call him. He is very physical, very long. It's tough for defenders and especially edge rushers to even get contact with him when they're trying to get around the edge. He gets his hand on you and pretty much shuts you out usually pretty early on. But, yeah, in the run game, I don't know why the Ravens had him pulling quite often, because he was literally just, I guess it was just a diversion, to mm-hmm. be quite honest, because he's not getting out and getting in front of Lamar Jackson or getting in front of those running backs. But I think he's a guy that's an upgrade over Cam. He's certainly not in the class of the best left tackles in football from a skill standpoint, from a talent standpoint, from athleticism standpoint. Trent Williams is just miles ahead of him. The stats might not tell you that, but if you pop on the tape, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I don't like the Trent Brown gossip. Nate Solder, maybe a little bit. It's a high price tag there. I'm willing to pay as long as you also address this in the draft. So, you know, let's get there. And I've done a ton of reading, as I know you have, and as well writing on the draft. And, you know, it seems like the more I go down the list of tackles, it's, well, primarily in his career, he was a right tackle, or he's looked at more as being a guard. This is considered a great offensive tackle class, but there just doesn't seem to be a long list of only left tackles.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the guys that are, you know, there's a good chance that they're not going to be available at 25 or 33 when you're looking to take them. One guy I'd keep an eye on is Walker Little. From Stanford. He has not played football since the first week of the 2019 season. So he obviously has not been on the field in a long time in a competitive atmosphere. But he's a guy that's very, very solid left tackle on tape. I think he has the physical ability. I think he has the work ethic to be a guy where in a different year, maybe he's a first-round pick because there is a lot of depth this year. He might be a first-round pick in a different year. So I think you could get him at 33, maybe 45, and he could be a guy that you could build around for the future.
All right, let's go to some other positions here. As we do, though, as we transition, what about some of these other 33-year-olds? Villanueva in Pittsburgh, Okun in Carolina. Even if you can sign him to a situation, I mean, we saw what happened earlier this week with Kyle Van Noy. He signed a 5-year, 40-something million-dollar contract. He played 1 year for $15 million. They cut him.
Yep.
Even if he'd be a stopgap, do you like that?
I'm not big on Charlie Villanueva. I don't think he's an upgrade over Cam Robinson, to be quite frank. I think maybe he was once upon a time, but like you said, he's up there. Okung is interesting. I mean, when he's on the field, he is head and shoulders the second best left tackle available in free agency. But the problem is he just hasn't been able to stay on the field the last couple of seasons in Carolina. So I don't know if you can bank on him playing this year and playing meaningful snaps.
You know, and he's talked retirement. And when guys start talking retirement, then, you know, you wonder about the desire down the road. Again, I say it all the time. They can't miss at left tackle. They have got to be able to figure this out. That's why a lot of people believe that, you know, by bringing back George Warhop, that despite the way you and I feel, Cam is part of this equation when it's all said and done.
Right, and you had Urban talking about how it's not a blow-up offensive line, that it's pretty good. I agree with him to a certain extent. I do think you have the opportunity to pursue a better left tackle. I think you should do it. But, again, I'm not all out on Cam Robinson. I do think he could be a serviceable guy for the next couple years. When you go watch his film, you know, it's really not that bad. And one thing, if you want to talk some statistics, some pressure rates, Cam Robinson, in a terrible offense in 2020, allowed a pressure rate of 6%. And Orlando Brown, who everybody's been clamoring for, his pressure rate allowed was only 5.4%. So that's not a big difference
there.
And then you look at Trent Williams, he's closer to 3%. That is a huge gap there. So it's really not a huge difference between Cam and Orlando, in my opinion. I think if you put Cam Robinson on the Ravens offensive line, he looks a lot better than Orlando Brown does in Jacksonville last year.
Well, to be fair to Cam Robinson, I'm trying to look at this from every angle. You have a different offensive coordinator every year. You have a different quarterback all the time. The Jags were 29th in running the football. What, the last 2 years, they've averaged less than 8 points in the first 30 minutes of play, which means defenses know and understand that when the third quarter begins, they have one responsibility, and that's to sick the quarterback. So if we finally have an offense here in town that is balanced, that is somewhat unpredictable, and you talk to any offensive lineman, I mean, Searcy, Baselli, Greg Huntington, they love to run blocks, so much more than a pass block. If all of a sudden you have balance offensively, could Cam Robinson be that much better of a guy if that all sets up?
I absolutely think he could be, because you're talking about an offense that gets the ball out quick on time. You're able to run the ball. Urban Meyer is not going to be having a Jay Gruden offense where you're throwing the ball 65, 70% of the time. He preaches balance on offense. His perfect game, he said it, is 250 yards passing, 250 yards rushing. That's how he wants to play on offense. And I think that would really benefit Cam Robinson. I'm not sitting out here and trying to say that he's going to suddenly turn into a Pro Bowl left tackle, but could he be slightly above average? Yeah, I think he could be.
All right, where are you going next? Obviously a lot of needs, and Jags have more than $80 million. Where else are you going to free agency?
Oh, I think you got to address cornerback. Opposite C.J. Henderson, you've got no one that can play outside cornerback. You've got no one that can play nickel cornerback because you've got Hayden. He's a free agent.
Right.
You've got Herndon, a free agent. You've got Sidney Jones, a free agent. You've got to go address the cornerback position, and you got to get a guy to play nickel and outside, in my opinion. And there's plenty of guys out there.
All right. Like what you're doing here. And, you know, there are some older corners who are available. There also, as I said earlier, the Jags could be on the other side this year of the Calais Campbell deal for a fifth-round pick. I mean, we saw the report on Marshawn Lattimore, you know, Stephon Gilmore. He's been nicked up as of late. But, I mean, those are a couple that come to mind. Do you think that that's a possibility for the Jaguars?
Oh, certainly, yeah. When you look at the Saints with Marshawn Lattimore, they've got to clear up so much cap space, and they've said they're prioritizing trying to bring back Marcus Williams, the safety. I don't think they want to get rid of Marcus Lattimore, but if it's that type of situation, maybe you could go give up a third-round pick just because they're so desperate, or a second-round pick. And I think if you get that type of value back from a Marshawn Lattimore type to play opposite C.J. Henderson, that'd be a home run.
What are you going to do about safety?
I like what you've got in the free agent class this year at safety. Even if Justin Simmons stays in Denver with the Broncos, even if you've got Marcus May staying up in New York and Marcus Williams staying with the Saints, John Johnson from Los Angeles, the Rams, he's a heck of a guy that can play strong safety, free safety, zone, man. He's made a lot of big plays throughout his career. I think he's a great candidate to come in and play in a defense that likes to give you a lot of different looks, because I think he's used to doing that, and he's been very good in that. And there's just several other guys. I mean, Malik Hooker, first-round pick. He's been injured a lot. He's had two healthy seasons, two injury seasons. He's a guy that when he's healthy, he's rangy as heck at the back end at safety.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take a look at the defense as far as defensive tackle, because obviously the Jags are going to strike there somewhere. And, of course, the whole tight end position. It seems like yearly Jacksonville has to figure out what they're going to do at tight end. We're broadcasting live tonight from Mr. Chubby's out on Crystal Springs Road. We're here till 8. Some phenomenal beer specials as well. Great food here at Mr. Chubby's. All three locations. Again, we're out on Crystal Springs Road. I'm Rick Ballew alongside Jordan DeLugo. We're here tonight till 8 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we love the nighttime around here. Denny and James standing by. Sports Den takes over at 8 o'clock tomorrow, 6 to 8. Ballew will be back along with R.J. Saunders. Got a lot planned for Friday, including Mike Girardi, NFL Network, will join us in our first hour. Jordan DeLugo with Rick Ballew. Mike Girardi formerly worked in Boston, still based in Boston, and this is going to be a question I'm certainly going to ask him tomorrow. Someone out there, I think he came from Nagy, right, who heads up the Senior Bowl, who stated he's such a believer in Gardner Minshew that they're talking about him going to New England for a third-round pick. I couldn't believe that that would be the offer. If that's the case, you got to make that immediately.
Yeah, I was shocked to read that, too. Jim Nagy, I think he does an amazing job with the Senior Bowl, but he is one to really really stick up for his guys that he likes from the Senior Bowl.
Third round.
And I doubt that you're going to get a third-round pick for Gardner Minshew. If you do, nothing against Gardner Minshew, because I am a fan of him and of his game. I think he still has some potential to go be a decent starter somewhere. But if you can get a third-round pick for a backup quarterback that you spent a sixth-round pick on yourself just a couple years ago, when you don't really need him, when you got Trevor Lawrence coming in, probably be better to have a veteran backup versus a young backup to Lawrence, in my opinion. A guy like Alex Smith, if he's willing to come be a backup, would make a lot of sense. But, yeah, if you can get a day two pick for Gardner Minshew, who is not in your plans, I think that's a home run.
Yeah, they have to go veteran here, and I love Alex Smith, and I would overpay for him, and it's nothing personal. Nothing about Gardner, you know, cap-wise, he makes so much sense. He's less than $900,000. That's perfect. But, you know, Gardner believes he's still a starting quarterback in this league. He's getting ready for his third year. You got to have in that quarterback room a guy, and I don't know where it is. If it's not Alex Smith, could it be Andy Dalton? Could it be Jacoby Brissett? Could it be Tyrod Taylor? Someone who understands, all right, I'm no longer the starter, but I got to do everything in my power to mentor the face of the franchise, and a guy who understands that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I like all those names you mentioned in terms of being mentors. I think that Urban Meyer is going to value that. I really do. I think he's going to want all the positive influences in Trevor Lawrence's ear that he can possibly get, and I think that backup quarterback spot could be a great spot for a mentor.
All right, 3-4 look, at least it appears that's where this franchise is headed at times, maybe more of a hybrid, but obviously they need a little bit more on that defensive line. Are you addressing this in free agency, or are you going to maybe use your second first-round pick in a very weak defensive tackle NFL draft?
Yeah, it's interesting. If Barmore's on the board at 25, you obviously got to look at that just based on the talent, not even worrying about the positional need. I think he's going to be a star at the next level as an interior penetrator. But in free agency, it'll be interesting to see. Do you want to go get a third edge rusher to pair with Josh Allen and Kalyvon Chaisson? Because you could certainly do that. There's guys out there that know how to run multiple fronts in terms of Matt Judon from Baltimore, Kyle Van Noy, Bud Dupree. All those guys I think would make a lot of sense if Joe Cullen feels good about them on the defensive side of the ball. And on the interior, is Leonard Williams going to make it to free agency? He's a guy you have to take a long look at. His teammate, Dalvin Tomlinson, as well, but on the defensive line, I think could be a good addition. I do like Devon Hamilton. I like what he was doing before he got injured last year. I was big on him in the draft as well. So I think you've got a guy that can plug in and as that nose tackle in the 3-4, but I think you could definitely supplement this defensive front.
In an obvious pass down, when you have four guys or more on the line of scrimmage, okay, you can move Allen, you can move Chaisson up. But if they are in a base defense and it is a 3-4, is it as simple as Miles Jack goes inside next to Schobert with Chaisson and Allen, or do they believe that maybe Allen can be up on that defensive line? You can keep Miles Jack on the outside and plug in an inside linebacker. I know we don't have the answer yet until they figure out their personnel, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely don't see Miles rushing the passer off the edge or anything like that. But the 3-4...
No, I mean, outside, moving inside as an inside linebacker, right, as opposed to staying on the outside as an outside linebacker.
Right, yeah.
With Allen moving up.
I think he can definitely go in and play in the middle in the 3-4. As you saw in 2019, it wasn't his best season, but he was playing middle linebacker, and I think he was overcompensating for a lack of talent around him on that defense, especially the linebacker spot with some of the injuries you were seeing. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with Miles if you're talking about getting Kalyvon and Josh Allen or whoever out rushing the edge as outside linebackers in the 3-4. Miles playing next to Joe is just fine.
All right, tight end. Hunter Henry, you make a run at Janu Smith, you wait to address this in the draft. What's your preference?
Well, you got to get somebody in free agency. It might not be Hunter Henry or Janu Smith, the big dogs there, but you got to go get guys because you just don't have the numbers at that spot right now. So you have to bring in some guys before you get to the draft, because you don't want to go into the draft needing to get a tight end in the first or second round. You can go get one of those guys like Pat Freiermuth, say, at 25 or 33 if you want to, if you feel the value is there. But you don't want to be pigeonholed into doing that. For me, if you're picking between Henry or Smith, I'd take Jonnu Smith. I think there's more upside. I think he has more gadget ability, and I think Urban Meyer and Daryl Bevel could really get the most out of him. You saw, and I hate to bring up Aaron Hernandez's name, but you saw what Urban Meyer can do with a tight end of that caliber at Florida, and I think Smith could do a lot of those similar types of things. And as I've said before, I love stealing from inside the division.
Yeah, I've no doubt about that. Hey, listen, Hernandez was phenomenal until he got caught up in all that stuff, and that also, when he was part of a two tight end set, obviously, in New England with Gronkowski. So, all right, as we put the final touches on this, I'm willing to overpay at left tackle. I would like to sign a tight end as well. For me, those are the two positions more than anything that I would like to see them address offensively. Defensively, no matter where they add, it's going to be beneficial. But, defensive tackle and corner are the two that really stick out.
Yeah, I think cornerback is the one, just because, again, you don't have any guys there besides C.J. Henderson that you have any sort of confidence in, because Hayden, Herndon, and Jones are all free agents. So you got to get a starting outside cornerback at the very least. Maybe you could say, well, we feel good about Josiah Scott, but he didn't really show a heck of a lot. You could say you feel good about Chris Claybrooks. Again, I think both of those guys need more development to really be considered potential starters for 2021. So for me, if you're talking defense, strictly defense, the top two needs are outside cornerback and nickel cornerback. And then you can go start maybe adding that safety or adding that interior defensive lineman or edge rusher.
Yeah, I guess the moral of the story is those first four picks all need to be plugged in as starters on day one. At least that would be the way I would look at it. Hey, it's not like it was, what, a decade ago when Dave Caldwell came here. That was one of the worst rosters I had ever seen. There are good things to build around, but obviously Jacksonville in a great situation here with the NFL draft and before that, free agency. All right, we got more to do. First things first, time for Denny Thompson.
Now, the two-minute drill on 1010XL.
All right, it's time for the Sports Den. They're getting ready to go. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, what's going on?
We're sitting here waiting for you to wrap things up, so you can go another 30 minutes if you'd like. Sound like y'all are having a good
time.
We
can go all night.
I know.
Are you kidding here? You wouldn't believe the scene out here on Crystal Springs Road. We're just having a blast out here.
Does RJ still have his shirt on?
Yes, okay. RJ does. As a matter of fact, he's added another layer. RJ gets cold. He went from L.A. to Jacksonville. He gets cold quick.
Who gets cold, in that bar studio. Or a restaurant? Like,
yeah. Well, he gets cold in that studio, and I tell him, man, we got to turn it down, as you know, because the show's so damn boring that people will fall asleep.
Where are y'all at? Which one?
Mr. Chubby's out in Crystal Springs Road, west side.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a Denny Thompson driver in three wood from Lake City.
Oh, you're out there.
What's going on tonight? What do you have?
I'm sure we're going to get into a bunch of draft stuff, but we're also going to have to take a peek into this Les Miles allegation.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah, did you talk about it?
Well, I didn't, because it's been mostly Jags, but we know he was bad with cock management.
Yes.
But this is taking it to a brand new level.
Yeah, it's an interesting
it's
read.
Disturbing.
Yeah, it's I don't know what's true, because he's denying all of it, but LSU has become the epicenter for drama, though. And they need their own reality show in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, but I mean, why would something like this leak 8 years later?
Apparently, you know what I mean? He fought to have it sealed. The record sealed,
yeah.
And he finally just gave up the fight. So apparently he's been doing that for a little while, and apparently he just gave it up, and so this all became public. That's the way I read it. But there's some interesting stuff on there, definitely some interesting stuff. And then we'll get into a little bit more of some of the rule changes that's being tossed around at the NFL level. Some silly stuff, but it's worth talking about.
Can you or James find out if Les has a motorcycle like Bobby Petrino?
I don't know who just said that, but somebody in here just said it sounds like Bobby Petrino. Oh,
someone's stealing my really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that one we do know. That one we do know. As a matter of fact, I think
Arkansas
that
could have been.
Right. I think that young lady was from here, if memory serves me correct.
Really?
From Jacksonville. Yeah. I think if you do a little bit of digging, I think you'll find out that is the case.
Huh.
All right, Denny.
All right, man.
Have some fun tonight, man. I'll see you tomorrow. There they go. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, JJ. It is time for the Sports Den. That is going to get things going right now. I want to thank everyone here at Mr. Chubby's. Always a lot of fun to come on out here. Next week, again, we'll be in Ponte Vedra after the first round of the Players' Championship. All right, Jordan, good to have you with us. Jordan DeLugo with Generation Jag. How's the best way for people to get a hold of you on Twitter?
Yeah, just follow me at Jordan DeLugo on Twitter. Follow Generation Jaguar at Generation Jag. Very simple.
All right. Appreciate you coming by. Some great stuff. Enjoy what you put out there on Twitter for us to read. And thanks for coming by.
Oh, yeah. Had a great time. Looking forward to hopefully doing it again soon.
Let's do it. There goes Jordan DeLugo. Want to thank Michael Phillips back in the studio for running the program. RJ Saunders for producing it here live on location. My name is Rick Ballew. I'll be with you tomorrow from 6 until 8 right here on the home of the Jags.